This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams threw his support behind syringe exchange services as an important tool to address the Ohio Valley's high risk of needle-borne disease. Mary Meehan reports.
Surgeon General Jerome Adams, dressed in a full dark uniform with gold stripes on his sleeves, demonstrated his technique for the administration of the potentially life-saving nasal spray.
All right, let's show him how to use this stuff.
All right.
Naloxone training can help address one deadly aspect of the opioid crisis. But Adams' visit to the Northern Kentucky Health Department also highlighted another, the outbreak of needle-borne diseases. Since January, state and federal health officials have been tracking a growing cluster of more than 40 HIV cases. As Indiana's health commissioner, Adams learned how critical those investigations are.
One of the reasons surveillance is so important is because any place can be the next Scott County, Indiana.
Adams managed the response to a 2015 outbreak of more than 200 HIV cases discovered in just a few months in that small rural community. He says the Scott County outbreak shaped how emerging clusters of HIV are handled. The focus is shifting to prevention through community-based harm reduction programs. Of the 200 counties in the country identified at high risk for an HIV outbreak, 100 are in Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio.
We want communities to have a conversation about what their risks are, and that starts with the data, with understanding how many people are overdosing, what their hepatitis rates are, because hepatitis is a marker for injection drug use. And once we do that, then we need to have a broader conversation about how to respond.
Adams says stemming the outbreak in Scott County also showed the importance of community support.
And it's got to be partnerships beyond public health. You need law enforcement. You need the support of the business community and the faith-based community, and that's how we were able to be successful in Scott County, Indiana.
He says it's important to show that so-called needle exchange programs often do much more than the name implies.
We can help them understand that the syringe service program is actually connecting people to care, serving as a valuable touch point to insurance, to screenings for other diseases. Then we will be much more successful than if they simply see it as us giving needles out to people who have a habit.
During his visit, Adams met with local health experts, including Artis Hoven, a Kentucky doctor and a former president of the American Medical Association. She says her state is at the epicenter of the problem and can continue to push for solutions.
So we have much to be proud of, but the important thing is there's so much more work to be done.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan in Florence, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Public Broadcasting COO Chuck Roberts was named interim CEO last week after current CEO Scott Finn announced his departure for Vermont Public Radio. News director Jesse Wright spoke with Roberts about his history with the organization and what his vision is for WVPB while it transitions to new leadership.
Chuck, thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on West Virginia Morning. For those who don't know you, what's your background and how did you come to West Virginia Public Broadcasting?
Well, there's many times I say it's a wrong turn to Albuquerque. I'm originally an Air Force brat, so growing up, I moved around from base to base. When I first moved to West Virginia, people would ask me all the time, where are you from? And I'd reply, what do you mean? Because I wasn't from anywhere in general, but I guess it was 92. I actually moved to West Virginia from Bossier City, Louisiana. A friend of mine I went to high school with, James Strait, was living here in West Virginia, and I came to see him, and I've been here pretty much ever since. And what brings me to West Virginia Public Broadcasting is actually a degree in communications from West Virginia State University. And actually back up a little bit before that, I was actually working at a drive-through in a McDonald's in Louisiana and didn't know exactly what it was. I was taking general courses in college and didn't know what it was I was going to do. And I was just making up some voices. And the lady drove through and said, you know, you should be in radio or something. She said just like, or something. And I thought, well, you know, TV, radio, that sort of thing, communications, that's what I need to be. And that's what I started focusing on and went to school here in West Virginia, got the degree, graduated, and I was working at Mountain News Network at the time, and I'd done my internship there, and after about a month had gotten all my hours in, and they had to hire me on as their full-time editor, and went from it, Mountain News Network actually went belly up in October of 99, I believe. And I went from there to CHS, realized that I'm not a 2 to midnight type person, and applied here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting with Steve Chapman at the time, and have been here for 18 years now.
That's a long tenure. I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes. What's the biggest change that you've seen in the organization since you've been with us?
It's like an attitude. There was a change, like you said, it's ebbed and flowed ever since I've been here under different executive directors. And I'd say the biggest change came with Scott Finn, who came from the news side of broadcasting, doing print and radio, who actually, you know, it hadn't been so long since he did the job. So he understood the actual production and technical side of it, but also the business side of it, and decided that the biggest problem West Virginia Public Broadcasting had was we didn't have a position within the community. There was polls taken through Marshall University, and the main thing that came out of that poll was people did not know who we were. And through different projects, Scott has done a very good job of positioning us within the community.
So what kind of shape do you see the organization in today as you take over as interim CEO? What does the future look like for West Virginia Public Broadcasting?
For a couple different reasons, we've gone through some downsizing over the past couple of years. And I think now we're at a point where it's been said everyone who's at West Virginia Public Broadcasting wants to be at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And we're in very good standing right now with the government, with state and federal funding, as at this moment as I'm talking to you, we are. And we don't foresee any big changes financially within the next year and a half or so. Everything seems to be going pretty well, but we're moving towards a pillar system as far as production. And the three pillars that we're going to focus on are career building, recovery as far as the opioid epidemic goes, and then culture and history. And the third one there, culture and history, we're going to focus a lot on Mountain Stage and our show podcast with Roxy Todd and Jessica Lilly and everyone who works on it inside Appalachia. So we're a strong organization and we're known well throughout the community.
So what's your leadership approach to this transition period as we come out of Scott's leadership and look toward the future?
Luckily enough for me, Scott has put forth good systems here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. So my leadership style is basically to follow his lead and continue what he's been doing. To go further as far as pledge, I've thought about it more of a community environment as far as our pledge and fundraising goes, so that the Friends group is more involved. They help us out a bunch, but I think if they're actually involved in the actual production of spots and working with the community, that'll help us out a lot. Just furthering the efforts he had as far as culture and history goes, and bringing a lot more things to TV. That's the other. I know this is radio, and I'm talking to my radio friends, but we also need to make more advancements as far as local productions here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and that's something I look forward to doing. But the main thing is a lot of the stuff isn't broke, so don't try to fix it. So just continue on the path that we're on and with the people we have, and I think we'll be in great shape.
Well, thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning, and good luck in your new position.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Jesse Wright speaking with Chuck Roberts, who was recently named interim CEO of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Mostly sunny skies today, highs in the 50s and low 60s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, breezy with variable cloudiness. There's a chance of rain in the eastern panhandle with highs in the 50s and low 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. For many teens, the prom is the epitome of their high school experience. But for LGBTQ students, it can be a challenge to feel like they belong. So this year, some West Virginia students decided to start a new tradition. Molly Bourne reports.
No, she's mine.
Steve Sarton gently lifts his brand new Chuck Taylors from the shoebox. His sneakers have rainbow laces and striped rainbow soles. He adjusts his rainbow suspenders.
I feel hot.
Not like, oh my God, I'm burning up. I feel hot.
The Rainbow Formal is West Virginia's first prom for LGBTQ students, and it's only a few hours away. Steve says he's got butterflies.
I've never actually been to a dance with like others before, like in fact, like a big dance like this. And I'm kind of nervous that like I'm going to do something that I like, I'm going to embarrass myself. But like, I know deep down inside I'm not going to, but there's like so that little anxiety that's like pushing up against me, but it's going to go away.
Steve's not the only one who's nervous. His friends are curling their hair and carefully applying makeup. They're all members of a new group of LGBTQ students throughout Southern West Virginia. The group is so new, it doesn't even have a name yet. It's sponsored by the West Virginia chapter of the National Quaker Humanitarian Organization. Because these nine students come from at least three different counties, they've met to get ready at the organization's office, which is close to the formal. Steve is 15 years old. He's a sophomore from Kermit in Mingo County. He came out to his parents last year, first as bisexual, then as gay.
Last year, I really was worried. I didn't know how they would react, but Mom was there and said that she would always love me no matter what, so that's all that matters.
Steve likes school. He plays clarinet in the Tug Valley High School band, and he says he loves living in the mountains. But growing up gay in Mingo County isn't easy. He says he and his LGBTQ friends get teased regularly.
You walk down the hallway and you can hear, well, look, there's that, the F word that we do not like, that I don't like personally.
According to the Human Rights Campaign, 4 out of every 10 LGBTQ youth say they live in a community that doesn't accept their sexual orientation. And LGBTQ youth report being bullied twice as much as other youth. Sam Green helped plan the Rainbow Formal, which is being held at West Virginia State University. He's a junior at Hurricane High School. Sam is trans, and while he says his school is an accepting place, not everybody at the dance can say the same. He says the Rainbow Formal is a place where everyone can be themselves.
So this is sort of like a place that they can go to be able to know that they'll have access to like a school dance, and so they don't have to worry about being bullied or anything.
Students from 10 different schools organize the dance, and they say they plan to do it again next year.
The goal is that one day we don't need to have this, that students won't have to worry about going to school or going to dances or anything like that and having to worry about it, like being with somebody if it's a same-sex relationship or being transgender and anybody thinking poorly of that.
Another student getting ready, Jasmine, sits patiently as her mom makes ringlets in her mostly shaved ice blue hair and sets it with a blast of hairspray.
Flip it back. Sorry, I know you hate it. Don't touch it.
Jasmine is a bright and soft-spoken senior from Boone County. 2 years ago, she came out as bisexual and now identifies as pansexual. That's a term used to describe people who are attracted to others regardless of their gender. She doesn't want us to use her last name because some members of her extended family don't know she's not straight. Jasmine's mom, Tiffany, is the only parent here, although all of the students needed to get signed permission forms to attend the dance. Tiffany says she always helps her daughter get ready for dances.
There's nowhere I would be other than here today, whether she's going to Rainbow Formal or traditional prom or marrying a man or marrying a woman or whatever. I'm going to be there.
Jasmine knows she has a fierce ally in her mother.
I feel very accepted and encouraged just to be myself.
Tiffany helps Jasmine lace up the corset she pairs with a bustle skirt, thigh highs, and her mom's red heels, while her friends sing along to a song from the musical Avenue Q.
What you do in bed with guys?
Nikki, that's wrong.
No, it's not.
Once they're all ready, the teens board a 12-seat passenger van driven by the Quaker group's youth outreach coordinator. Freshman Liza Kelly serenades the group during the drive. The students hop off the bus and pose for photos.
Come on now, tall in the back, short in the front, gather together.
Inside the student union at West Virginia State, disco lights bounce around the room. Students line up at the photo booth with props, a pink lei, an oversized pair of glasses, and Mickey Mouse ears. Some hold hands on their way to get snacks, others hang back and talk at tables. At the end of the night, a cascade of rainbow balloons falls over the crowd. This, the teens say, is a place where they feel like they belong. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Molly Bourne.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.